Good morning.
Good morning.
It's been a long time. I'm Pastor John, if you forgot my name. It's been a while. So I'm back, and just praise God that, you know, that we have a daughter, Marae. Let me just get her name out. Marae. I'm probably not even saying it right myself, but that's the way that we say it. It is a French name, and you spell it M-I-R-E-I-L-L-E. So it's very, but I know everybody asks our daughter, our new daughter's name, Marae. And I'm back for paternity leave. And our daughter is here. Both of our daughters are here. Just a warning, she's not 2 months old and she hasn't had her shots yet. So don't try to hold her. Like, it's just not going to happen. We're going to say, just wait one more month and then, you know, so, and don't cough on her either. We're all these, you know how it goes. We're germaphobes. So thank you, Allison, for sharing. It's been an amazing, I've actually been on a reservation twice for a mission trip. So it was an amazing, the first time I went, I loved it so much that the second time I got the directory of some missionaries in Utah and I just called them up and said, hey, me and my buddy want to come out and serve. And he was like, yeah. So we went out there for 2 weeks. This is during college. So it can happen. If you can go on an established trip or just find some missionary or some pastor out near a reservation, I'm sure they would, you can make it happen. So thanks for sharing. And I know that we have two more people lined up who are about to go on mission trips, Emily Kong and Anna Lee. So we have tons of people going on mission trips. So if you're interested in a mission trip, come talk to me and Sylvana Mobing, and we have a missions committee that handles that as well. So as I said, it's good to be back this morning. You know, this morning we're going to begin our Advent series. Is this a time of the year that we focus on the birth of Jesus? You heard some Christmas or some Christmas songs. We begin to remember and reflect upon and read the scriptures and just really focus our attention on what it means, what Christmas really means, what the birth of Christ really means. Last year, we had this Advent series as well. Every year, at least since I've been here, we've been trying to do Advent series. It was titled Jesus, Son of. So last year, we went through the different titles of Jesus, and Jesus, Son of Mary, Jesus, Son of Joseph, Jesus, Son of David, Jesus, Son of Man, and we ended up with Jesus, Son of God. So we're looking at the titles of Jesus and how that reflects or relates to the Christmas story. The year before, we looked at the doctrine of Christmas and what Christmas means to the world. And the year before that, I could keep going on and on, but the year before that, we looked at the characters of the nativity story. That was one of my favorite years. One of my favorite Advent series where we looked at the angels. We spent an entire sermon focused on the angels. Another sermon focused on the shepherds. Another sermon focused on the Magi. And another sermon focused on Mary. And believe it or not, all of those are up online. So if you just want to get into the, you know, the joy of the season, you can go back and look at some previous sermons as well. This year, we are going to enter into our new Advent series. And if you could go to the next slide, please. So this is what we have lined up for the next, for this sermon and for the next three sermons after that. We're going to focus on how to commemorate Christmas in a manner that is worthy of God. And that's a big question that we have these days with so much commercialism and tradition, which I love tradition, but a lot of things that are conflicting with a biblical account and a biblical way of worshiping and celebrating Christmas. So we're going to, this Advent series is going to focus on how do we properly and biblically celebrate Christmas. The topics that we're going to cover is this. We're going to look at how to proclamate the Advent, or that big word right there, promulgate, that one right there. All right, but I say proclamate, which is how to share the Advent with other people. We're going to look at how to imitate. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but we are to imitate the Advent to the world. I mean, Christ came into the world to share the good news, and we're actually to follow in his footsteps as well as lights of the world. And our final sermon is going to be how to anticipate the final Advent when Jesus is coming back. So this week, however, we're going to begin our 2019 Advent series by taking a biblical look at how to celebrate Christmas in this day and age. So if you'll pray with me, and we'll jump into our scriptures. Father God, it's good to be back in your house. It's good to be back, Father, just dwelling in your presence and worshiping you and being in a fellowship of my brothers and sisters, Father. We are excited, Father, to celebrate your birth to the world, Father. We are excited, Father, to dive into the scriptures and see what we can learn, Father, and how you have revealed yourself to us, Father. God, I pray that in the next few moments, Father, that you will give us a biblical outline, Father, of what pleases you and how we should properly celebrate Christmas. I know that we have so many conflicting views and different ways to celebrate and even worldly influences that creep into Christian celebration, Father. And I pray that you set us straight, Father, and speak to us in these next few minutes. Holy Spirit, we invite you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So I always love learning new things and new traditions and ways of doing things differently. Well, that also applies to Christmas. There's a lot of different ways that people celebrate Christmas. I'm sure that all of us have our traditions. Probably a lot of them overlap. Some of them may not. But how many of you guys have bought your Christmas tree already? Okay, how many of you guys have, I won't do this, artificial versus real versus... This is a big debate, right? But we, my family, we do real trees. It's a lot of work, but I love the smell, and it's for me, it just kind of brings about great memories, and I wanted to pass it on to my daughter. So I brought my daughter last Saturday to get a Christmas tree, and she's only 2.5, so she doesn't really know what she's looking at. So the salesman lined up 3 of them, and she pointed at one. So they're, you know, they were all 3 good, and so we gave her that choice. She did good. Besides Christmas trees, listen to some of the ways that people celebrate and commemorate and remember Christmas. Buying gifts, this is a very popular one. Helping others, that's a great way to celebrate Christmas, remember Christmas. How about this, angels on top of the Christmas trees? Angels, some people do angels, some people do stars, some people do other things. Caroling, caroling. Our church has done this in the past. And in my church in San Francisco, we had this tradition that before Christmas, we would go and we would set up the houses beforehand, but we would go and carol pretty much the whole English congregation and go from house to house and do caroling. And we would usually stop by a nursing home or two. And then we would end up in somebody's house, which had to be a large house, and we would do caroling, and then we would all eat a big meal together. So I love caroling. We could totally pick that up in our church as well. Food, ugly Christmas sweaters, right? My wife and I are in the process of putting together a Christmas card, which is another Christmas tradition. And my suggestion was ugly Christmas sweaters, like all of us, but we couldn't find one for the dog. So we didn't do that. We've got a different theme this year. Advent calendars with chocolate. Anybody do that? I do that. We didn't do it this year. I think somebody in the past couple of years has given us calendar, but I like that. Stocking stuffers on the fireplace, Christmas cards. How about this? A lot of Christians around the world do fasting for Christmas, for the Advent season. They do fasting, or maybe you attend a church service, or spend time just reflecting and thinking upon what God has done for our lives. I know I usually try to read through the nativity and the different Advent. Basically the beginning of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So I try to read through those to remember Christmas and think upon it and refresh my memory. I try to do that. So what are your traditions, you know? How do you celebrate Christmas? These are just a couple of them, ways that people celebrate Christmas. I'm sure that probably most of you have done one or two of those or maybe all of those. But this year I learned something new about Christmas I just wanted to share with you. I won't share them all because I don't have enough time, but I did a lot of research and I found out that this is something new I did not know, that a lot of different Christians around the world celebrate Christmas differently. And let me share just a couple of these. The Orthodox Church in Russia, Serbia, and Jerusalem, and Ukraine, and some other countries, they use what's called the Old Julian Calendar, and they celebrate Christmas on January the 7th. Isn't that cool? Like, I didn't know that. Many churches, including our church, we celebrate the Advent. We're doing an Advent series, and we try to do that every year. And it's normally a period of 4 Sundays, if you can squeeze it in. But in many Orthodox and Eastern Catholic churches, Advent lasts for 40 days, starting in November 15th. So they kind of sometimes do 6 different Sundays instead of 4 different Sundays. During Advent, many people fast, or they don't eat different foods, depending on what church and what tradition you do. Have any of you ever fasted to celebrate the Advent season? Yeah, see, I don't know of any. I haven't myself, and that's just a new tradition that sounds very interesting. How about this? After Advent, traditionally Christmas celebrates, there's what's called the 12 days of Christmas. Now, this is totally something, but I feel like I should know, because pretty much all of us know that really kooky cut is on the first day of Christmas, or true love came. I was like, what is that? I didn't know. So there's actually 12 days of Christmas that happens after the day of Christmas, and it's called a 12 days of Christmas. I didn't know that. And this is celebrated throughout many different church Christian traditions. And the celebrations are finished on the evening of January the 5th, which is known as a 12th night. And throughout history, like, these 12 days of Christmas were known to be a time of feasting and fun. So that's something I didn't know. What if you went to your boss and said, "Hey, boss, I'm taking off 12 days, like, for Christmas, you know, to feast and fun." Like, it just doesn't. I know in our church we just don't do that. It doesn't stop there. This is something, like, again, I don't think you guys know. I didn't know this. Following the 12th night on January 6th is what's called the Epiphany, when many people remember the wise men and who visited Jesus. And they also celebrate the baptism of Jesus when he was an adult, and that's called the Epiphany. So that comes on January the 6th. So after the 12 days comes the Epiphany, and it does not end there. So you might think Christmas ended there, but it doesn't. After both Christmas and the season of Epiphany, the end of the Christmas celebrations come on February the 2nd, which is 40 days after Christmas, and it's called the Candlemas. I don't know how to pronounce this, but it's known, it celebrates the presentation of Jesus at the temple. And a lot of different traditions, they remember this, and they actually have, some of them, even at Orthodox Church, they have an all-night service. And during that service, they bless the candles. It's like a candle mass, so they call it Candlemas. And then they use those candles all throughout the year. So that's some of the things that I learned, that the ways that different Christian churches and denominations celebrate Christmas. You know, it's kind of, I think it's good to, like, look at these different traditions. And it kind of points out that there's different ways to celebrate Christmas. And, you know, not all of them are right, but, you know, not all of them, it's not said that one is better than the other, but there's just different ways to celebrate Christmas. So it begs the question, if there's so many different ways to celebrate Christmas, including worldly ways, how, can you go to the next slide? So how should we celebrate Christmas? Like, this is a question that the church really needs to ask itself, and that all of us individually need to ask ourselves. Like, how should we celebrate Christmas? I mean, you know, we're Santa Claus, we're, like, kind of competing with them at some points. You know what I mean? I'm just saying that, you know, there's this whole, like, secular way of looking at Christmas, and it kind of blends into the church sometimes. And so how should we celebrate Christmas if there are clearly, like, different ways that we can celebrate Christmas, or that we can celebrate the birth of Christ? What does the Bible tell us about celebrating Christmas? And does the Bible give us any guidance as to celebrating Advent in a godly manner? So for the next few minutes, we're going to look at that question. We're going to answer that question. And we're going to look at that by looking at the first Advent, the first account of the Advent story. And I do think that, at least from what I've seen as I study this and prepare this, that God does set for us a great blueprint for us to celebrate Christmas. So let's dive into our scripture, and then we'll kind of exegetically just kind of look at, see what God gives us as far as celebrating Christmas. It's found in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. It's in your bulletin. It's in your Bible. It's up here on the board. Let me read it, and then we'll go from there. So this is our Advent story for this morning, answering the question, how do we biblically celebrate Christmas? Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." In our scriptures for this morning, we get a vivid picture of the first Advent. Our brother Luke, who wrote this book, tells us that the angels, they appeared to announce the birth of Christ to the world. Now, if you didn't know, angels are messengers. That's what the word angel literally means. And that's exactly what they were doing. They were delivering a message from God to his people here in Luke chapter 2. They were proclaiming the message that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, had just been born. Just a short distance from where, and this is kind of the background behind the scriptures, just a short distance from where these shepherds were, the Virgin Mary had given birth to God's only son, Jesus. And God, he didn't want these shepherds to miss this miracle, so God sent his angels specifically to these shepherds in this chapter here with this specific message: God is now with man. He walks in the flesh among us. And notice how God broke this message to these shepherds. God sent one angel. And the first thing that this angel, I kind of touched on this a few years ago, the first thing this angel said to the people said, "Do not be afraid." And if you look like scripturally in the Old Testament and New Testament, every single time people are terrified when an angel appears to them. So he naturally, this angel says to these shepherds, "Do not be afraid." And then after he said that, a whole multitude of angels like appeared behind them. And I'm sure that that possibly scared them as well. I said, "Don't be afraid." And then when these angels appeared, it says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." So if you can just picture, this is a background. There's one angel appears, "Do not be afraid." And then there's a multitude of angels, and they're all singing to God. And this is what these shepherds are experiencing. This is a background for our scripture this morning. So for the next few minutes, we're going to take an even closer look at what's happening here in the scripture. And I believe it's going to give us more insight as to how to celebrate Christmas. So listen to the message that the angel, and I just really want to focus on the message. I know a lot of times we focus on the characters or the big picture, like God loves the world and he sent his son Jesus Christ to die. Or we might focus on the different theological aspects. But this morning, we're going to focus on the actual message that God gave us to announce that Jesus was coming, the message of Christmas, literally. In verse 10, the angels told the shepherds, if you can go to the next slide, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." This was the message announcing Jesus. This was the message announcing Christmas. This was a message actually just theologically laying out what Christmas is all about. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." So, the angels, as I mentioned, they're messengers, and they're just messengers. Like, they don't make the message, they just deliver the message. And this was a message from God. It's good news that will cause great joy for all people. So just think about that for a second. This is the announcement of Jesus Christ. This is the message that God meticulously planned out and sent to the world. It's good news that will cause great joy for all people. These are the words that God thought out, the words that God chose to announce the birth of his son, Jesus, to the world. And as we hear these words from the lips of angels, literally, I want to remind you that this message is as true today as it was 2,000 years ago. The birth of Christ is good news that will cause great joy for all people. Many of us, if not all of us, need to be reminded of the message of Christmas, need to be reminded of this message, that Christmas is not about Christmas trees or stocking stuffers or eggnog, which I love. These things are nice. The Christmas message is good news that will cause great joy to all who will receive it. So don't let the message of Christmas get drowned out this year. Hear it directly from the pages of the Bible and from the lips of angels. This is a message of Christmas. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." So now the message of the angels didn't stop there in verse 10. If you look at verse 11, this is the angel's message continued. Verse 11 says, today, and again, the angels are sharing this with the shepherds, today in a town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Now, I had previously mentioned, and I really thought about this a lot. I tried to even myself carefully put this into words. This is how I would describe this message, like given to the shepherds that we're looking at here. God carefully crafted and thought out the words that the angels would proclaim to the world. God carefully thought out and crafted the words that the angels would proclaim to the world. In other words, this was the greatest message, the greatest announcement ever sent to mankind. Literally, I mean, this is it. This is the greatest announcement ever given to mankind. And the angels are simply repeating what God had given to them to give to the shepherds and ultimately give to us. And I believe that God really, this really predetermined every single word that was announced by these angels. This is kind of God's wedding invitation. You know, when my wife and I, when we got married, we didn't have much money, so I went down to a Chinatown print shop, and I found these Chinese, they're like red type envelopes, and they have, they're really ornate, very beautiful, and we got a great deal. And this was our wedding invitation. We're sending to you know, hundreds of people. And I proofread that thing over and over and over, because I'm thinking like, these are hundreds of them going out, and we're paying the stamps and money. Like if I mess up, you know, like my father-in-law's name or something, like I'm just really in big trouble. So I read that thing over and over until I was going. In fact, we actually, some of it was written in Chinese, and I had like a lot of people look over that, make sure that's right. And I was meticulous, and I was very specific and detailed, and I wanted every single word to be right. Do you think that when God sent us messages through the angels that he wanted every word to be right? Like, I don't think that this is some just like message. I think that this is like a very detailed, specific message, because this, again, it's the greatest message ever given to the world. Like, and I think that there's a lot in here, and I love the beautiful message. I mean, it's an amazing message. Don't skip over that part. So let's take a look at everything else that God included in this message. Not only was the birth of Jesus good news that causes great joy for all people, but the announcement from the angels also tells us, this is what it also tells us, that Jesus is the Savior, the Messiah, and the Lord. That Jesus is the Savior, he is the Messiah, and he is the Lord. Today we maybe casually like look over these titles like, oh, I'm Reverend John. Just kind of include it. And sometimes I hyphenate, or not hyphenate, I shorten it, abbreviate it, excuse me. Not the biggest thing to me, just I'm Reverend John. That's my official title. But titles to God are huge. And they actually mean something. Like, they actually mean something. And we covered some of the titles of Jesus in previous sermons. We've looked at Jesus, the Son of God. Like Jesus called, we looked at that title, Jesus, the Son of Man. Like Jesus said, I am the Son of Man. Like, what do these titles mean? Jesus, the Son of David, etc. Like, Jesus has all of these titles. But these, here in these scriptures, God the Father gives us three titles of Jesus that the angels were to proclaim to the shepherds and to be recorded in scriptures and to be given to us, even 2,000 years. So here are the three titles given to Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, and the Lord. Isn't that cool? This is God's wedding invitation sent out to the world. And he was I honestly 100% believe that God was so meticulous in his words, and that these mean a lot. That Jesus is the Savior, he is the Messiah, he is the Lord. And I'm making a big deal out of this because it is a big deal. Don't skip over these titles in this announcement. When God the Father announced Jesus to the world, he made sure that the world knew that Jesus is the Savior of the world. He made sure that the world knew that Jesus is the Messiah of the world. And he made sure that the world knows that Jesus is the Lord. This is an amazing announcement. Again, this is the message of Christmas, that Jesus is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And this is a huge part of this announcement, and I don't want you to miss it or just casually overlook it. So the angelic message here in the scriptures that announce the birth of Jesus, or Christmas or Advent, proclaims that there is good news that will cause great joy for all people, and that this Savior, that Jesus is the Messiah and the Savior and the Lord, and He has come to the earth to dwell with man. And as if this announcement, which really encompasses the meaning of Christmas itself, couldn't get any better, it does. Look at Luke 2:13-14. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." The message of Christmas promises glory to God in heaven and peace on earth to those whom His favor rests. This is the message of Christmas. Isn't it encouraging that God is concerned about us having peace here on earth? Have you ever thought about that? Like, there are these like basic building blocks of life. I know you might want to say like food, air, and water, and things like that. But I think like on a spiritual and on a real level, the basic elements of life are love, joy, truth, trust, protection, and there's some others. But peace is included in these building blocks of life. So, like, we have to have peace, like, or we just won't make it. Like, we literally need peace on earth, and that's just the way that God has designed us. And God is offering us all of these things through the miracle birth of His Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't the message of Christmas amazing? Like, this is what the message of Christmas is all about here, found in Luke chapter 2. So there's a lot more here in this first Christmas message or announcement from the angels, but I just want to summarize and then share like how you too can share in the promises of this angelic Christmas message. So the message of Christmas as proclaimed from the mouth of angels is this: God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to be born in a miraculous manner to the Virgin Mary. And this is how God the Father describes the birth of Jesus to the world. Can you go to the next slide? Jesus, this is a Christmas message, is good news that will cause great joy for all people, and that the Messiah, the Savior, and the Lord of the world has come to dwell with us. And this gift of the world will cause glory to God in heaven and peace on earth to mankind. Isn't that cool? This is literally just looking at the message, the announcement of Christmas. So we often look at the story of Jesus and His birth. We only just kind of look at this and kind of glance over these things. I know that sometimes you can just kind of read over these things and not really catch this, but I want us to focus on this Christmas season. I encourage and remind you to look at the announcement made by God of the birth of His Son. And there's so much for us to learn here, to apply to our lives. So let me give you just three ways here, and I'm going to go through this rather quickly, but just three ways that you can apply these things that we just saw in this announcement into your own Christmas celebrations. The way that we can try to and begin to worship and celebrate Advent and the arrival of Christ in a biblical manner. So how can we celebrate? We're coming back to that original question. How can we celebrate Christmas correctly? Like, if there's so many different ways, and different people do this, different people do that, like, what is the correct way to worship, to celebrate the Advent? So the first thing that we can learn from these scriptures here in terms of celebrating Christmas is this: treasure the Christmas message. And I hope that you kind of get that sense from me. I'm excited about this message. I mean, I'm seeing the Christmas message in a whole new light just from this angelic announcement here. God's announcement or Christmas message here in Luke chapter 2 is literally full of theological and spiritual truths. This was no like simple, ordinary message to the world. This was God's most important message ever given to the world. And God sent an entire multitude of angels to announce the birth of the Messiah, Jesus. And He specifically chose who He would announce this message to, which were the shepherds. And God's message, delivered by angels, is literally chock full of promises. I mean, we just saw that, and I just revealed that. But they were meant to announce and also introduce to us the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord of heaven and earth. this announcement was meant to introduce to us Jesus. So I encourage you to treasure this Christmas message delivered by angels. Don't skip over it, and don't let it get drowned out by the busyness of the season or distractions of the world. So the first way, how can we celebrate Christmas? Treasure the Christmas message. Like, I hope that you saw just as much as I've seen, like in this announcement to the world. Treasure the Christmas message. Another way, the second way in which we can apply this scripture to our lives and to better and celebrate Christmas is let the message cause great joy in your life. Let the message cause great joy in your life. In Luke 10, the angel said to the shepherds, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. You know, when we found out that we're pregnant, let's put it that way, or rather when my wife found out that she's pregnant, she dressed up. I was trying to get this video. I didn't get it in time, but if you're interested, I might show you. She dressed up my daughter. I woke up, it's like, I don't know, like 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm hearing all this commotion in my wife's closet. And then I see, I don't have my glasses on, so my daughter kind of comes out, Adeline comes out, and she has like this sign on her, and she's dressed in really cute, like pajamas, and she's coming up to me, and she's like, Daddy, Daddy. And then I'm like, what? And I'm like looking at it, and I see there's some sign here, and the sign says, I'm gonna be a big sister. And I'm like, oh, no. Like, that's awesome. But I was like, not awake yet. I'm like, not fully comprehending it. And you should just go through all of course, I'm excited, but I can't comprehend it, right? I'm like, is this for real? You know, like, is this? And it was so cute, but I loved it. But I was full of joy at that moment. You know, at this announcement, especially sent by a cute little girl, like, who wouldn't be full of joy, you know? Like, and that's the way that we should be with this message. Like, we should be full of joy. Like, God sent this message to us to tell us that there is a Savior of the world, and He has come to be with us. Be full of joy. Let the message cause great joy in your life. Don't just be these people who like sing joyful, joyful, but like actually be joyful, joyful. Right? Have you ever been in that place in your life where you're just kind of sing, going through the motions? You're like, joyful, joyful, we are. And I'm not really joyful, and I just sing in this. You know, like, but be joyful people, because this message was meticulously sent to you. Every one of us in this room, and actually to the whole world, to all people. Hear the message, receive the good news, and let your hearts be full of joy because God is with us. This is the Christmas message. Let that be a reminder to you. And the third and final way that we have time to share this morning is this: invite others to hear the good news. The announcement of Jesus' birth, Christmas, was an announcement for all people. In Luke 2:10, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." Like, this was literally the message from God to the world, for all people. And I don't want to get in too much into this, because next sermon we're going to talk about proclamating the message and how it was meant for all people. But I do want to say this: God's announcements of the birth of the Messiah clearly states that it was for all people. The message wasn't just for the Jews, it wasn't just for the Gentiles, it wasn't just for the shepherds, it wasn't just for the kings, it was for all people, literally. This is, again, God was specific in His words, it's for all people, which includes you and me, and also everyone outside of these four walls. So my encouragement to you is that there are people in this room and outside of this room that need to hear a message of joy, like need to hear a message of peace, need to hear like that there is a Savior and a Messiah here to rescue you, and who loves you and has done this amazing, miraculous, the most amazing, miraculous thing ever done for mankind, because He loves you. Like, this is literally the message of Christmas revealed here in Luke chapter 2. It was given, it was proclaimed to the whole world. So let's do our due diligence and our responsibility and go and share this good news with other people. And then finally, let me end with this. This is a silly illustration, but I found it really relevant and actually very interesting as well. I listen to K-Love on the radio now that I drive a lot. I found K-Love, and they often have encouraging stories. On K-Love this week, I heard a story. You may have heard it as well. It's made national headlines. It's about an Australian house excuse me, a house in Australia, and they decorated their entire yard. It's a video, we're gonna watch it in just a second, but they decorated their entire yard with Christmas lights. Like, some of us do that, Christmas lights. And then, like, their neighbor, instead of like decorating and trying to compete and all that, they just put a sign out front, and I'm gonna show you what that sign says. Can you play the video? Hopefully it plays here. There's no audio, says me. What do you think their sign says? Awesome, guys. So my encouragement to you this Christmas is, in kind of the silly manner, is be that house that shines the brightest in your neighborhood. Like you person, not your house, unless you just want to do it. If you do your house, invite me. I would love to see it. But be so full of joy that the people all around you will point to you and say, that's what joy is. And I'm just going to point to them because that's what joy is. Be the light of the world this Christmas season. The message of Christ literally was to fill us with joy. It was the good message. And it was a message that there's the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord of the world. And this when Jesus came, he brought glory to God in the highest, and glory to God in heaven, and peace on earth to man, and is for all people. And this is a message of Christmas, and I just encourage you and encourage myself as well to be that house instead of be the ditto. be the people that people are going to point to this Christmas season and say they have something inside of them. They have met the Lord, the Messiah, this Savior, and they know him personally. Be that light of the world. Let's pray, okay? Father God, we thank you so much. This is your Christmas message, just expanded and given, Father, by the angels and proclaimed to the shepherds, but also given to us, Father. We thank you so much, Father, that it is such amazing good news, Father, and that your message brings the amazing fullness of joy into our lives, Father God. And we thank you, God, that your message is for all people. God, we know your heart for the world. We know your sacrifice for the world. We know your love for the world. And we know your message for the world, Father. And help us to be a city on a hill, Father, this Christmas season. Father, help us to be ourselves be full of joy, to remember this message, to cherish this message, Father. And help us to be that light that you've commanded us to be, and that you've called us, and the example that you set for us to be, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your message, and we thank you for your messengers, but we thank you most of all, Father, that you have come to be with us, that you have come to dwell with us, God incarnate, and that you have come to save us, and that you have saved us. You are our Lord and the Savior. We love you so much, Father. Continue to share with us this Christmas season. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Father, continue to reveal to us your truths. Father, we are looking forward to celebrating Christmas in a biblical and godly, in a way that pleases you this Christmas. In the name of Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen.